Good evening. Sometimes when I'm asked to speak different places, I'm kind of not really sure what to talk about. But when I was asked 5, 6, 7 weeks, I don't remember how many weeks ago it was, to speak, within a few minutes, I was like, I know what I'm going to speak on. And after that prayer time, it's just kind of solidified it even more. But we're going to be talking about evangelism. Now, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so it's something the Lord has been working through me, just teaching me, you know, why is it important to evangelize, and you'll see that throughout the rest of the next 15 minutes that we have. But I don't think I have the gift of evangelism, but Paul says that we need to eagerly desire, the other gifts, the ones that we don't have. With that being said, the gift of teaching I don't think is my gift either, so don't get too excited. But we're going to start out Matthew 28. I think it's a good place to start here, verses 18. Now, I actually grew up reading it in NIV, and it's what I was given when I graduated high school, the new ignorant version, as some people refer to it. But I did print out in my notes, I used the New King James. I thought that would be what more people here would have, to be easier to follow along. But starting in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I was looking online just to get some statistics of, you know, which countries send out missionaries and, you know, different things like that. You all should be pleased to hear that as of 2012, the United States sends out more missionaries than any other country. So that sounds pretty good. But then I kept reading and I found out that the United States also receives more missionaries than any other country. That's scary. You know, it's great we send out so many missionaries, but why is it that of all the countries in the world, more missionaries are being sent to the United States of America, a country that was not so long ago founded on Christian principles? Why is that? So we're going to kind of discuss the importance of sharing the gospel. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke 10. For the sake of time, I know you all can flip there, but we got to put on our running shoes because we got to get going here. Verse 2, "Then he said to them, The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." And I want to kind of dissect these, two verses here. Kind of a little bit out of order. We're going to start verse 2b, I guess you could call that, which would be, "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." First thing is we recognize it's his harvest. It's not ours. We'll see later that we're not responsible for the growth in other people. We'll touch on that later. Just hang on to that thought. Are we praying for the unsaved? And are we praying for those who will go out? Now, obviously, we just had an extended time of prayer, and those prayers were lifted up. We prayed for the people that are going out, and the missionaries, and we prayed for our unsaved loved ones. So that's a good thing to remember, to keep praying for them and keep praying for the ones that will go out. Verse 3, go your way, just the first part of that verse. Are we going? Obviously, there's missionaries that do that full-time, but are we ourselves going out into the world, even here in America, in our schools? I guess the school crowd's over here, a little back there too. Our schools, our workplaces, the doctor's office, anywhere that we go, are we going out and sharing the gospel? And then verse 2a here, back to the beginning. Then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few." Now, this was written, 2,000 years ago, which I'm sure it was true then, because obviously, the harvest it would be great then, because this is the beginning of the church. This is right at the very beginning. But isn't that still true today? I mean, just we look around in our world. I would say that is just as true today as it was back then. For instance, at Mountaintop, I'm somewhat removed from any sort of like television and stuff. We don't get many channels up there or anything like that. I didn't even know that tomorrow was the National Day of Prayer. I just don't get all that involved with media and stuff. So if it's not on Facebook, I might not have known. But if you pay attention to the news at all, you've probably heard about this. But we have leaders in our own country that are praising, going out of their way, and they're praising people for outright being homosexuals. And so we have that going on. And at the same time, we have any of you guys heard of the, I don't know if I can pronounce his last name, but it's Saeed Abedinai, Pastor Saeed. You might have heard about that on the news. If you don't know it, here's the short story. You can look it up on the internet later. But he's a pastor that went to Iran, and he is right now in solitary confinement with internal bleeding from the beatings that he's gotten from sharing the gospel. So we have leaders in our country that are praising sin, but yet we have American citizens that are in other countries from sharing the gospel that are being beat for sharing their faith, and our country is not doing anything. A verse comes to mind, Isaiah 5:20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that is happening right now. We have people in our country that are leaders, some even call themselves Christians, that are calling things that are evil and not of the Lord good, and things that are good and of the Lord, they're calling them evil and pushing them away. Two, evilness in people being praised after our death, or after their death. For instance, I know of somebody who recently died of a heroin overdose, and he was even praised after his death of, man, he was such a great guy, and what? That's not true at all. What happened? That guy probably, I'm guessing because of how he died a sinner and went to hell. But there are people in this country and all over the world that are praising that, and it's like, how is that good? Number three, Christians, can use Christians, voting for social status over morality. Now, I'm not, like, obviously it's not like an election season right now, so I'm not advocating for anybody. But I'm not very old, and I don't have a lot of experience in certain things, and I've only voted in a few elections other than, school council or whatever. But I think as Christians we need to put a higher emphasis on voting for morality over social status. I mean, when it comes to voting for, this guy is going to make it so I have a little bit less taxes and my health care will be better, and he also is for gay marriage and for abortion and all these things that are blatantly obvious that are sinful as we read Scripture, I think we need to put a higher focus on that. A little illustration. I meant to bring a whiteboard, so you had to deal with me. But who knows in math class what a plane was? I'm not even good at math, but I know what math. Okay, we got one. All right, a plane is what? It's like a flat surface that extends in all directions forever. Is that right? The one guy that knows? Yes. All right. So pretend, if you will, that this sheet of paper here goes, that was a pretty bad arrow I just drew, goes in all directions forever. Okay, this is eternity. I'm sure you guys maybe even have seen an illustration like this if you were in Sunday school. Let me draw in real quick. I'm not a good artist, but let me just draw your life and my life. All right, I'll circle it because you might not have seen it. This is our life right here in the middle of this. You can see there's just a tiny, tiny little dot. Okay, that's our life in all eternity. So you have to pay some higher taxes for a little bit longer, but you're voting for somebody who's not going to, you know, vote for and put gay marriage, legalize that, and legalize abortion and all of these different things that are sinful. So we need to, as Christians, think about these things as we're voting and as we're putting people into office. And we need to pray for the leaders that are in office, that if they are for these things, we need to pray that the Lord will convict them and change them in their thinking. The next point is, should we be surprised? If you want to turn to Luke 21, the answer to the question is, should we be surprised that this is happening? I would say no. I think the things around us that are happening are biblical. The Lord says what's going to happen. He says it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the end, the signs of the ends of the age. So Luke 21, verse 8, and he said to them, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Does that sound familiar today? I can think of, throughout the year, I don't even hear about some of them being up at Mountaintop, but the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tsunamis and all the different things that go on, that sounds like things that are happening right now. Skip down to verse 12, actually the next verse, verse 12. "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Does that sound like Pastor Saeed that I was talking about before? I mean, he's in prison now, in solitary confinement, with internal bleeding from the beatings that he got. And there's others. We think of Nate Bramson and the things that he was going through with the food, trying to get that over there, and the government was not wanting to let them have that. That's just two examples off the, you know, at the top of my head, and I'm sure each of you could think of other things that you've heard of as well. Verse 16. "You will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death." Let's go down to verse 20. Did I say 16 or 20? That was 16, but here we go with verse 20. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that desolation is near." You know, I think the times that he's mentioning here, I think we are living in these times. Now, don't get scared. I'm not about to buy some billboard rental space and put up a date and a time. I think Scripture is clear when it says that nobody will know the day or the hour. Nobody does know. But I think that it's pretty obvious that we are closer to the end of the age today, obviously, than we were yesterday, just because of common sense. You know, we're a day closer. But if we look at the things around us, I think it's pretty obvious that the signs of the end of the age are upon us, I think. So what can we do? If we go back to Matthew 28 and we look at what it says, it's pretty obvious when he says to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are we doing that? Obviously, we want our friends and our family to get saved and to go to heaven. I mean, that's, you know, I don't think anyone would say that. No, I don't want my brother to get saved. But what about others? What about your waitress or your waiter when you're eating out? What about the cashier that you checked out with at Walmart or the gas station clerk? What about these people? Now, I didn't have the book with me. I must have lent it out to somebody. But I read it, the book Radical by David Platt. So this is going to be a rough quote because I couldn't find the book to look it up and verify. But essentially he says, "How much do you have to hate someone not to share the gospel with them?" I mean, think about that. Essentially, if you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, to share it with them and you don't do that, essentially, I feel like, you know, if that happened to me, essentially I would be saying, well, that person might as well just go to hell, because if I don't take the opportunity and follow the Lord's leading to share with them, essentially I'm saying, well, they mean nothing to me. Maybe I don't know them, but I think we need to care enough about people to share the gospel with them. So I don't know about you, but I thought that was a wake-up call. You know, the least we can do, we got in the narthex, there's a whole wall of tracks. I mean, I've never walked by there. I haven't been going here that long, but I have never walked by there and saw, you know, no tracks out there. The least we can do is pick up a few of those as we're leaving and hand those out to somebody. This is that point where I said earlier to tuck away, and we'll come back to it. This is it right here. You know, all we're doing as believers is we're planting and watering. You know, we can hand out a tract, we can plant a seed, we can water a seed that somebody else has sown. But in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7, we find out this. It says in verse 6, I planted, Paul speaking here, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. And the key there is God gives the increase. I can hand out a tract to somebody. I can talk to somebody who has questions about the gospel that's been shared with them. But ultimately, we need to be praying for those people that God will give the increase. And I know I'm going a little over, but this is the last point. We will face persecution. Yes, we will. But if you remember, I believe I got this quote right from Sunday. Being like your teacher ain't for sissies. I think I got it. Luke 6:22 and 23, it says, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So we could see here, blessed are you when men hate you. So when we face persecution, we need to come back to this verse and realize, yes, persecutions are going to come, but blessed are we when we're cast out for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed are we. So the application, I'd say, you know, when we leave here and we're going out, take a few tracks with you. You know, most people wear pants with pockets and shirt pockets and stuff, so hand out a few and pray for that track, I guess you could say, as you're handing it out, that it would get into the right hands and that the Lord would use that and he would cause increase. And then another, this wasn't meant to be a sales pitch for the evangelism night, but you know, take advantage of these opportunities to go out with your brothers and sisters in Christ on May 7th and the 21st and to share the gospel with people, to knock on some doors, and to help out with the kids' clubs in the different areas. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me go a few minutes over. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have as believers, and we're given to go out and share the gospel. Lord, we know that you don't need us, that you could find other ways to do it without us, Lord, but you give us the opportunity to just show a little bit of how much we could love you. And it doesn't compare at all to how much you love us, but we just ask that as we go out from here that we'd be conscious of the opportunities you put in front of us and that we would be bold and feel the Holy Spirit tugging at us as we need to be sharing the gospel with others around us. And we do continue to pray for the unsaved loved ones that were thought of earlier in our prayer time, as well as the missionaries that, not just here in America, but the ones that are overseas, Lord, that you would bless them and give them safety and strength as well. We ask for safety as we leave here tonight and ask all these things in your name. Amen.